Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Eye on College Basketball podcast. I am Ashley Nicole Moss, and I have my girl with me, Tarika Foster Brasby. What's up, Tarika? How you doing?
Hey, girl, I am good. We talking college basketball. I'm real good.
I know. Listen, I would say long time no see, but we saw each other in Dallas, so this is like a little mini reunion, a quick reunion, if I should say so myself.
Yes. What was that, like 3 days ago? So we're on a roll.
Listen, the way sports is moving right now, it feels more like a week. So we got a lot to dive into. Now, normally, I know you guys are expecting Gary Parrish to talk about all sorts of animals and just craziness, but we're not going to do any of that because we're going to do something a little bit different, and that is break down some brackets. But this time, for the women's tournament, I'm so excited to be doing this, and I'm so excited to be doing this with Tarika, who's just an absolute force when it comes to women's basketball. Listen, over the next few weeks, we are going to preview the women's tournament all the way to Cleveland. And while we're doing it, don't forget to like and subscribe. And most importantly, leave as many comments as possible so our bosses know that you're looking for this kind of content so that we can go ahead and bring you more. All right, so Tarika, there are so many storylines in the tournament this year. Just so many big names that we have to get into, break down future big names, stars already made, stars that are going to be made. Let's start with probably one of the biggest stars, and that's Caitlin Clark. She's had an absolutely incredible season, and it would be very magical if Iowa were to win the whole thing. It would just be another record in the record book of Caitlin Clark. But I mean, let's be honest, is that even a possibility?
So first off, it is hard to get through the NCAA tournament for any team. Like, I think anybody and everybody knows this. You literally have one opportunity to get it right, because any even the best of us can get it wrong, can have a bad day, and that's the end of your season. Tournament style, right? It's one of the reasons why I think winning a college basketball championship is one of the hardest, if not the hardest, championships to win, because it's tournament style. One bad game and you're done. Now let's add to the fact that Iowa is in the toughest bracket in this tournament. I feel bad because I'm thinking, as the number two overall seed, you probably should have had a much easier opportunity, maybe that Portland 2 bracket or something, but like, they gave you the hardest freaking bracket, the hardest region. So when you talk about the possibility, of course, it's Caitlin Clark, it's Iowa, it's Hannah Stahlke, it's Gabby Marshall. You cannot count them out. But when you talk about the probability, they're going to have a very tough road ahead of them. You've got UCLA. You've got LSU in your bracket. There are so many teams that literally show up during the tournament that you don't expect to show up. So you got to account for that in that region.
Right.
This is going to be tough.
I want to ask you because, I mean, obviously, if you are immersed in the culture of women's basketball, specifically on the college side, you already know that Caitlin Clark's legacy is cemented. I mean, running through some of her accolades, became the NCAA Division I women's basketball career scoring leader, broke the all-time scoring record in major women's college basketball. I mean, the list goes on and on. Obviously, the championship would be the icing on the cake. Like you said, possibility, sure. Probability, not there. Does that in any way kind of spoil the Cinderella season? Maybe not for the diehards, but for the masses if she doesn't get it done. And is that even fair to put that on her if it doesn't happen?
You know, that's a very good question. And quite honestly, I think it won't. Because there are a lot of people who don't see what makes you great the same, right? I'm one of the people who have gone on record to say, I think Caitlin Clark is phenomenal. I think she's one of the best offensive players, if not the best offensive player that I have ever seen in college basketball. Yeah. She is absolutely the greatest scorer that I have ever seen in college basketball. But to me, in order to be cemented as the greatest, you've got to have other attributes. I need to see how you defend because you got to play both sides of the ball. I need to see you win a championship because the best of the best have been able to take their team to the promised land. And so for someone like me, I can appreciate how much she has garnered this nationwide attention while also saying, you know, from an X's and O's, from an on the court standpoint, she's phenomenal, but she didn't reach this particular thing. That does not discount. That does not at all discount the record she's broken. How? She's in the records books. Like, right. You can't
just multiple record books.
She's in the Big Ten record book. She's the leading scorer in college basketball, period. Like, you can't deny that. Like, anyone who would try to deny that is crazy. That is completely separate of, do I think she's the greatest player of all time? Hell no. Because there are other people who have done what she's doing and have won a championship and have won it on both sides of the ball. And that's, again, not a discredit to her, just saying it is hard to be the greatest player of all. Like, it's hard to be the greatest player of all time. And I don't think it's fair to put that pressure on her. Let her enjoy the tournament. Let her try to get her team to the next level. Like, just let her be. Like, let her be. You know what I mean? We don't have to put this expectation of being the greatest. Players have enough pressure on them as it is.
Right.
But I do think if she doesn't win a championship, people are going to have comments about it. It might not be me necessarily, but someone will have comments about it.
I mean, we've already kind of seen those storylines, or rather those conversations happen about Caitlin Clark, I feel like throughout the season, right? But specifically leading up to the tournament, I mean, I can recall a bunch of conversations right now off the top of my head having this very argument that, yes, Caitlin Clark is a force, and what she has done for women's basketball, especially on the college level, has been phenomenal. And it's setting a new blueprint for those that will follow her. But when we talk about the greatest, and we talk about the women that have done what she has done in any aspect, but have also gotten the hardware to showcase, listen, when it came down to that tournament, nobody was better than me and my team and my squad. We got it done. That has been the pushback, that how can we label someone the greatest that we have ever seen if she doesn't go ahead and reach the mountaintop? Whereas some people, and this is, you know, the GOAT argument across all sports, some people don't care about that. Some people think if we're talking about the GOAT, it's an individual accomplishment. It's an individual record book. It's an individual accolade. And how can we go ahead and put something like a trophy, a championship, a ring, whatever you want to refer to it as, on someone and their label as the GOAT when that is a team accolade, team accomplishment?
I make that argument in football all the time. And it makes sense in football.
Well, you're a Colts fan. You kind of have to.
Well, yeah. you see it. But what I mean by that is in football, no matter what aspect of football you play, collegiately or professionally, or even in an amateur league, flag football, whatever you're playing, there are three units. There are people who play on one side and one side only.
Right.
So you can be amazing, like Tom Brady was amazing. And I ain't never saying that ever again, because Tom Brady who? But you can be an amazing quarterback and have a sorry defense and never see a championship, because it literally in football, all three units special teams, defense, and offense have to work together to win a championship. So when I hear GOAT conversation in football, I absolutely think it's fair as an individual conversation because you can't control what you don't contribute to. Basketball, you play two sides.
That's right.
You play both defense and offense. So you can affect the outcome of your team and how your team plays. You can affect the possibility of how your team manages to combat the other team offensively or defensively. If you're not getting it done on the offensive end, you have an opportunity to still be a contributor on the other end of the ball, on the other end of the court. So I don't contribute individual stats in terms of what makes you the GOAT, because there are so many elements that you can contribute to in basketball that maybe not so much in any other sport. I mean, when we talk about the GOAT conversation in the NBA, as it relates between MJ and LeBron, what's the biggest thing they bring up? That LeBron has six rings. I mean, that MJ has six rings and never lost in the finals. That's right. The biggest thing they bring. Now, whether you agree with that or not is your own affair, but I'm just saying that's the argument that's being made. So when I look at someone like a Breanna Stewart, who never lost a championship in college, kind of hard for me to put somebody else in a conversation, I mean, that has not won a championship along with her. Now, if we're talking about people who've won championships, then we've got plenty of places and people who we can contribute this conversation to. We can talk about the Cheryl Swoops. We can talk about the Cheryl Millers. We can talk about the Candace Parkers, because these are all national champions who have also put up numbers. So no one has outscored Caitlin Clark. No one on any level, in any sport, men or women have
accomplished
her, have accomplished that. And that is why I say she's the greatest scorer I've ever seen in college basketball. She's earned that. She's deserved that. But when we talk about GOATs, there's so much more to it than just how many points you put up. It's just so much.
Absolutely. And like you said, listen, possible, always, probable, not likely. And we'll dive into a little bit deeper as to why the probability is not as high as maybe Iowa fans and Caitlin Clark fans would like. But regardless of the outcome of her season, it has been an incredibly magical, impressive, dominant, just history-breaking season. And it's only going to continue as she gets on into the next level. But
and just so clear, Ashley, I'm cheering for her. Like, I'm cheering for her. I hope that she.
I think everyone is.
It would be crazy.
Right. I think everyone is. I don't think you can see what she's able to accomplish and what she has accomplished and will accomplish and just be like, if you are, you're a hater. Let's just say it like that. Well, we're talking about current stars, but I want to talk about the future of the league. I want to talk about the future stars in women's basketball. And one of them is Juju Watkins. Absolutely a huge fan of Juju. First of all, I love anybody, man or woman, but specifically a woman with a signature look. You know, I think of Beyonce and the blonde hair. Yep. And I think of Rihanna with her little buzz cut that she had back in the day. Yep. And I think of Juju in the bun. It's perfect.
Yes.
Like, I need a tutorial because my buns never come out that good.
And what kind of edge control are you using this? Because it's never a hair out of place.
Girl, I need her to get that edge control deal pronto, because whatever she's using, get me gallons of
give
it.
Give me that.
Listen, I live in Miami. That humidity, her hair does not move.
It doesn't move.
Summer is coming. I need that ASAP. But we have seen some of the biggest names in Hollywood and music show up to USC to support Juju this season. I mean, Will Ferrell, Sweetie, Chris Brown are just a few of the names, front row and center, to watch Juju just put on a show night in and night out. And to know that it's only just beginning for her. I mean, is it safe to say that she is the next face of college basketball for women?
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe this girl is 18. She's only 18.
Girl, when I was 18, I was a hot mess. Just want to put that out.
A whole mess. Do you hear me? A whole mess. Literally, like, oh my gosh, she's 18 years old. And the poise that she has, the discipline that she has, the resume that she has as an 18-year-old freshman is bananas. Like, her game is so polished and it's so complete already. And so keep this in mind, and I know we'll talk about this later, she has so much more growth ahead of her, because women don't typically can't come out early, you know, in terms of going into the WNBA draft. They can't. Yeah. So we get to see Juju at USC for at least three more years, and that just warms my heart. What breaks my heart is that the Pac-12 will no longer be the Pac-12. Well, so yeah. You get such a phenomenal player to represent a conference that has historically been had powerhouses in it from a women's basketball perspective, and it was just so fitting to see USC win the Pac-12 championship, you know, thinking about those 80s teams with Sherrill and Cynthia Cooper and going back to back. So it was amazing to see that Juju is there are people who have what's the word there are people who have the reputation that precedes them, and right. Not everyone gets the opportunity to truly live up to those expectations. I think Juju has exceeded those expectations by far.
I mean, it's incredible. And obviously with the changes in college basketball, college sports in general, you know, specifically the NIL, how that has allowed, you know, college athletes, collegiate athletes to elevate their personas and to elevate their brands has been absolutely incredible. And I mean, we're making yeah. jokes about the edge control, but that is very much a real possibility yes. for Juju. As you know, NIL continues to grow and brands continue to invest more in collegiate athletes, specifically on in women's basketball. I mean, how high is the ceiling for Juju Watkins?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gosh, girl, the ceiling doesn't exist for Juju Watkins because of how phenomenal she is. She resonates with young girls. I remember seeing this little girl show up to the USC game. She had her she had the little bun. She had her Juju jersey on. I was just like, girl, this is it. This is what we want and need in this game. So I love that she has the power to influence. I think brands see that. And then on top of that, there's the respect because her game is so dope. I mean, she's not just a 30-point scorer. Juju Watkins can defend. She makes impacts everywhere. She fights on top of the screen. She defends the drive. Like, she does everything. She forces turnovers. So she is an impact player on both ends of the court, and brands also see that. So she gives the appeal to the young girls, to the young kids. She gives the appeal to the athlete. And then she just, again, she gives the appeal to young Black women and those who look to someone who looks like us that can relate to the things we relate to. Girl, listen. You're right. We're joking about the edge control, but edge control is real.
Girl,
how do you keep this up? Is it
warm? Do you know how many trials and tribulations I have been with edge control in my life? Word. Testing out different ones, different toothbrushes to try to make the right formula. Sometimes it is a bad time. You know, it starts flaking. Now I got white spots all over my hair.
Girl, yes. Yeah. So
listen, it's a very real. Listen, if you are listening and you have no idea what we are talking about, it is a very real thing in the Black community where your edges, if they are not laid down correct, it can ruin your whole night.
Your whole mood is gone.
Girl, I have been in club bathrooms before and have seen girls struggling to lay their edges. It's a very real thing. It could just make you be like, you know what? I'm gonna head home because this is not working for me. It's not working. I want to go back to something you said about Juju that's so impressive. I mean, only 18 years old. And I remember an interview she gave. I believe it was after the Sweetie and Chris Brown game where they were sitting courtside. And somebody asked her, I think at this point there had been just a variety of celebrities that have shown up to USC at this point. And they had asked her, I mean, all that attention, you know, obviously it's the national attention, it's the collegiate attention, it's the USC attention, but now it's a celebrity, a Hollywood attention. How do you deal with that? And I think her response was, I just play my game and I just focus on my game and I take a game at a time. And, you know, all of this is nice. And it's an honor and it's a privilege to play in front of people and to have people want to come to USC to watch me and my teammates play. But that's not the goal. The goal is to win. And I never lose sight of that. Hearing that from an 18-year-old is just so mind-blowing and just so impressive. Because listen, everyone has gotten starstruck at some point in their life. You know, if you haven't had the opportunity to meet an idol or somebody you're a fan of or something that inspired you, there's a moment where you may have lost your cool and been like, dang, I wish I could take that moment back because that was embarrassing. Just the poise is just mind-blowing to me.
No, Juju, I think, is someone who has great people in her circle who continues to provide her the support and who has probably raised her to be humble. And she remembers that. I don't know Juju personally. I've never met Juju personally, right? And so I'm hoping to see her as we get closer and closer into the tournament. But I can tell you that, you know, her coach, Lindsey Gottlieb, is someone who has absolutely been a force in terms of resonating with players on different levels at different stages. And so I feel comfortable in saying that she has a coach that knows how to support her and knows how to put her in the right positions. I would also say, as someone who has been throughout the ranks of basketball throughout her entire career, from AAU to high school to McDonald's All-Americans, like, she's been encountering some of the best her entire life. And I'm pretty sure they have also instilled in her, this is what you're going to face. This is how you can handle it. And I'm pretty sure also her parents have raised her to be an incredible young woman. So I think when you combine all of those three things together, you get the kind of person that we're seeing reflected. And it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot for any young player to have to deal with the cameras, with the attention, with the pressure. But I've got to credit to her circle. Her circle has absolutely kept her focused. And that is a plus. Any team is going to want to have a player on their squad who is focused. Any coach is going to want to coach a player who knows how to keep the main thing, you know? So you got to love that about Juju. I think that is, again, what will attract her and continue to attract her to brands, to endorsements, you know, when she gets to the WNBA, because she's absolutely going to the WNBA. That will be the kind of thing that makes her, outside of her game, someone that's going to be really key to a team at that stage.
I mean, you mentioned about, you know, a coach keeping the main thing a main thing and putting their players in the position to be the very best that they can. And nobody has done that better than Coach Dawn in South Carolina. I mean, listen, 32-0 overall, 16-0 in the conference. I don't even have much to like dive into on this. I feel like this is very self-explanatory. I don't think I personally, in my adult life, maybe when I was a kid and, you know, I can't really recall, in my adult life, I don't think I have ever seen a college team this dominant for so long. Just so well, just focused and constructed and dominant night in and night out, season and season and season after season. That is a testament, I feel like, to Coach Dawn, but it's also a testament to the talent of South Carolina. They're seeking perfection. Perfection already exists. But I mean, is this their tournament to lose? Because it feels like it is.
Oh, I thought last year was their tournament to lose. And essentially it was, right? Like, there were some key things that they could have done better in their matchup against in their matchup last year that could have propelled them to the next level and didn't. So I don't think anything changes. I have often joked and said, Dawn Staley reminds me of Nick Saban, how every year Alabama has 50 players in the draft, and then the very next year they come back and they're in the daggone college football playoff. And we're like, how are you, like, y'all are like forming like Voltron. Like, how y'all just re-up? How are you re-upping like this, right? This is how I see Dawn Staley. Like, she just re-upped. Like, it was nothing. Like, it was, like, literally, this team is a team that lost all five of their starters last year. And I'm like, Dawn, you just had this sitting on the bench. Like, this is what was in the wings. That is phenomenal. It's phenomenal talent. This freshman class is just different. First off, I mean, all the way around, this freshman class is different. We just talked about Juju. You still got Hannah Hidalgo that's out there balling. And when you look at South Carolina, Malaysia Fulwiley is just phenomenal as well.
Insane.
This is insane. Like, this is a team that understands what's stacked against them. Understand that they don't have the margin for error that other teams have because of who they are and because of who they're coached by. So they don't have the margin for error. They get criticism over the smallest things, and this is an undefeated team. This is an undefeated team who literally turned over, with the exception of like Camila Cardosa and a few others. This is a team that is a new team, essentially, right? So you have to give credit to Dawn, how she continues to really instill a work ethic in this team and continue. And what I love most about South Carolina is their adaptability. Like, they adapt to any situation, because there are still some things that I think this team can work on. I think defensively they have moments where they break down, right?
Yes.
And so when you think about that, you're like, well, wow, what do? They find other ways to win. They have moments where they start the game off really slow.
Yes.
And I don't know what Dawn says to them at halftime. But they
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
What you tell them, coach? Because they come out the half like, this is a completely different team. And I think when you get in the tournament, there are moments where you can't afford to do that. Because as we started talking about when we started the show, anybody can have a good game. Anybody can have a bad one. And you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot by having a bad game because you're starting off slow with low energy, you know, not hitting your shots that you typically make, those kinds of things. So I believe that South Carolina can only be beaten by South Carolina.
One of my favorite things about the South Carolina team, and obviously, and just South Carolina overall, but specifically this team, is not only their authenticity as a team, they are who they are, they show up as themselves every single game, good, bad, or indifferent. But I also like, as dominant as they have been, there's still humility there. And I think back to the situation between LSU and South Carolina that, you know, took social media by storm.
Yeah.
And the way that Dawn handled the media versus the other side of things.
Yeah.
She basically said, look, this happens, but it shouldn't happen. And my girls are better than that. And yeah, I apologize on their behalf, and we're going to be better moving forward. To have that kind of humility when you are the top dog in college basketball, in women's college basketball, to not go in there and be like, well, you know, that's what happens when you poke the bear, or, you know, you want the bull, you get the horns type of situation. To go in there and say, these girls are better than that, and they should have reacted better than that. It happens, but that's not what we teach here at South Carolina. And I failed doing my job because this happened, but we're going to be hearing that. Like, I get goosebumps still thinking about that conversation, because she didn't have to give that answer. Because if she had given a more arrogant answer, a little bit more of a, you know, a puff your chest out kind of answer, I don't know if it would have been received too badly, because they are the top. They are the best. They are the biggest. They are the baddest. And she just took the opposite route. And that just speaks to the character of South Carolina, which is what makes them so easy to root for.
Yeah. You know what? And, you know, if we're just calling a spade, there's no way Dawn Staley, even if she wanted to, and I don't believe that she wanted to, but even if she wanted to, she couldn't have reacted any other way anyway.
You know what? Good point.
Because Black women don't get that. We don't get that. You just don't get that, right? Like, you don't get to be angry. You don't get to be emotional. You don't get to be upset. South Carolina has dealt with people unfairly calling them out of their names. Right. They've been thugs. They've been bullies. They've been beasts. They've been all of that. And this was before there was even an altercation. This was before, you know, things got out of hand late in a game, you know, with heated emotions. And they were already given this label by certain people in society. And so Dawn understands that. She recognizes that. And she also is one who is going to ride for her players. And so she certainly could not have responded any other way anyway. Not the same for Kim Mulkey. It's just not the same for her, right? Nothing in society is the same for her as it is for Dawn. And the fact that this behavior has been allowed this long, it's like now it's okay because right. No one's gonna say anything to me. I'm a champion. Nobody's gonna say anything. Well, Dawn's a champion too, two-time. Yeah. So there's a respect level that people automatically have for her because of one, who she is, her career. She's one of the pioneers of women's basketball in terms of, you know, the WNBA, playing in the ABA, being on the 96 Olympic team. She's a gold medalist. Like, this woman has done it all and done it all very well. So there's already a respect level for her, but she understands the situation that her players are in.
And the
she
game,
knows,
right?
Exactly. And she knows. So she has to keep a level head if no one else does. That's what makes me respect her even more. She's never lost in the moment of where we are and what's happening around us.
Well, you mentioned Coach Kim. We're going to talk about LSU right now. Social media was very both upset and surprised that LSU was a 3 seed and not a 2 seed for the tournament this year. 13-3 in the conference, 28-5 overall. LSU, I mean, it's very hard to two-peat in general across sports. Name a sport, it's hard to do it. That's why when it's done, it is a big deal.
Yep.
LSU can repeat. It's possible. Like we said, anything's possible, but is it probable? That's a different conversation.
Well, I don't know why folks would be mad that LSU is a 3 seed. They won a championship last year as a 3 seed. Like, you could be a 3 seed and still be successful. If I'm LSU fans, I'm like, cool. I'm like, cool, you know, no worries. Now, again, they are in the bracket of death. Okay. Like, they've got Colorado in this bracket. They got Kansas State in this bracket. They've got Iowa in this. Like, this is the bracket of death. So anyone who makes it out of this bracket is
the gauntlet.
Like, this is the gauntlet. Okay. So there it is. So there's that. But I got to feel good if I'm LSU. You got to feel good because from the way that the actual brackets are lined up, from the way that the matchups are lined up, you have a path that you could get to the Elite Eight for sure. Now, you get to the Elite Eight, you're most likely have to match up with Iowa, pending that they get through their half of that region. But you get to the Elite Eight and you might have a matchup against Iowa. This is a team that you've already beat. So you should feel good about where you are. You should feel good about how you can manage to get to the next level. I don't think that there should be an issue. Now, there are, again, some things that I think that this LSU team can work on. But one thing that they have been doing great over the last couple of weeks from the SEC tournament coming into now is they can score. They are scoring the basketball, and it is phenomenal to watch. I love to see Angel Gray crashing the boards as well. That girl will overtake you at the rim. You need that. That post domination is what you need. And the 1-2 punch between her and Anissa Morrow.
Right.
I love it. Give me more of that. So don't trip. Okay. Because you absolutely have an opportunity to get to the Final Four. But when we talk about repeating, it's hard.
It's very, and listen, that's not just in women's college basketball. That's across the board.
It is hard. And you have yet to defeat South Carolina. And if South Carolina is the team that you have to match up with in the championship, you really got to go through and reevaluate how you approach it. I know they say it's hard to beat a team 3 times, but there's something about the way this South Carolina team just matches up against LSU, where they are able to utilize their body, their strength, and they're able to utilize their guards to really go for the jugular, right? So that will probably be, if LSU makes it to the championship and South Carolina is there on the other side of the bracket,
I mean, and scanning a bunch of the brackets that are out there, and we're going to do ours in just a little bit.
Yeah.
That looks like universally, for the most part, from what I can gather out of, you know, the 10, 15 I looked over, South Carolina and LSU looks like that is going to be the national championship. That's what a lot of people are anticipating. But much to your point, the winner of that, and if I scanned 10 of them, 9 out of 10 had that being South Carolina. And it would be interesting, given all, you know, the animosity and, you know, all the underlining storylines, especially over the past few weeks, and the things that have been said in the media and the post-game conferences that have gone viral. It would be an absolutely incredible championship game.
Yep.
Storylines, beef, history. It's just, it has it all. The chance to two-peat, the chance to upset the two-peat.
Yeah.
To your point, though, very, very hard to do that.
It is
not
so
just hard, excruciatingly difficult.
It is hard.
Yes.
When's the last time? I can't even remember. And I usually have these things off the top of my head, so I'm usually really good at it. But the last time that we've had a repeat champion in women's college basketball was at UConn.
I believe it was UConn.
I think that was 09, 2010, UConn.
I believe it was UConn. That was the last time.
So that was over 10 years ago since we've had
a,
at least that's what I can remember. And I know on the men's side, we haven't had a repeat champion since Florida. Florida! You know how long it was? So it is hard.
Listen, I know Patrick Mahomes makes it look easy, but it's not that easy.
I know, right? I know.
That I know Patrick different. Mahomes makes different. It look like you could do it in your sleep. You can't do it in your sleep.
You know what I mean? Miami too. You know the Miami Heat. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Well, you know, actually.
If we're talking, I know the Aces make it look easy.
The Aces absolutely easy. Make it look easy. What? Talking about a repeat.
Don't the Aces are the exception, not the rule.
They are all the exception. Absolutely not.
Do not follow their lead. They are not the rule, guys.
God. What the Aces going for a three-peat too, but that's
they probably will get it. They're probably gonna get it too. It's that insane. Listen, we're talking about women's sports, specifically women's college basketball, and just the absolute interest this year specifically, it's so astonishing and just so fulfilling if you are an advocate for women's college basketball, women's sports in general. I mean, the ticket sales for the Final Four for women's college basketball, multiple times over more than the men's side, which is 10 years ago might have been unheard of. It just it just showcases the changing of the times and how much more people are now paying attention and not only paying attention, but once you get their attention, the fans realizing this is a phenomenal product.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal games being played, the storylines that exist, the narratives that exist, the names that exist, the names that are coming out, the names that are coming in. There's just so much to get excited about. And yet, sports books still don't have that many betting options for the women's tournament as they do the men. So, good. And then, of course, there's always the bad. I mean, Tarika, I know this. None of this surprises you, but I mean, let's talk about it. Let's start with the good first. Let's start with the ticket sales and all that. Let's start with the good side first.
So I absolutely love this. I think that we have started to see this shift in women's basketball support, at least over the last 3 years. I think the first thing that really started to point out the differences was when Sedona Prince had a video during the pandemic showing the disparities between the men's tournament and the women's tournament. And I think that was one of the things that really opened our eyes to those who were unfamiliar. Because those of us who've been in the women's game for a while, we've known, we've expressed our thoughts, we've expressed our opinions, we've talked to people who, you know, have decision-making prowess, and there's only so much you can do after a while, right? So I think that right there was when the wave started to shift. Then you started seeing players like, you know, Aaliyah Boston and, you know, at this time, even Sabrina Ionescu was still in college. And you started to see this shift of memorable names. You started to see players who were like, wow, this is this person is she's crazy good. And we're like, well, yeah. Then you start to see deals happen where you're starting to see college basketball being displayed on various different, you know, platforms. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we've all said is if people see it and people watch it, like they will come to love it. And I think that's where we are. So last year, when we see a million people tune in to
watch. Say that again. A million. Yes.
A million people tuned in to watch LSU in Iowa. That is when we knew, like, these people aren't tuning in just because they think it looks good. You know, they're tuning in because this is a great product and this is a great game and they deserve respect and the attention. So I love it. We have often talked. I was tuning into a Minnesota Timberwolves, and I forgot who they were playing. And Reggie Miller was doing the broadcast. And for a good 2 minutes strong, they're talking about the women's tournament. They're talking about Caitlin Clark. They're talking about Angel Reese, like a good 2 minutes strong. And I can't remember the last time I tuned in to an NBA game and they're talking about women's basketball.
It's not just like NBA games, but I mean, I can recall a podcast just a few days ago or a week ago between Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and they were having a conversation about the upcoming tournament. And I believe it was Paul Pierce who said, I'm going to be honest, I can name more of the young women in the tournament this year than I can the men. The women's tournament is the prime television. And that's no knock to the men. That's absolutely not. There are some incredible games that are going to be played in that tournament. There are some teams that are definitely you want to keep your eye on. There's some upset alerts that are already kind of percolating. But I just love that now the playing field is starting to get slightly more even. There's a long way to go, but in terms of the interest, in terms of the conversations being had, in terms of the numbers, I mean, just games throughout the regular season before we even get to the tournament have been record-breaking. Yes. I mean, game after game, not only from a viewership standpoint, from attendance standpoint, there have been record-breaking attendance for some of these games throughout the regular season, and it's incredible. I mean, Iowa is selling out stadiums.
I was just going to say there was a sold out football stadium for a basketball game. Like that is mind blowing. And we love to see it, right? We love to hear and see people turning out in drones. I mean, even when you think about the star power of who has been coming to women's basketball games this season, it has been incredible to look around the crowd and see some of our favorite celebrities, our favorite actresses, celebrities, like everywhere, other players, like everyone's tuning in to see. I think one of the things that, I've been complaining about this forever, right? Mm-hmm. And this is just as a fan, not even
rightfully so.
As a fan, not even as an analyst, I have said one of the reasons why I think that women's basketball will always, and this is before it was actually popular, but I said one of the reasons why I think women's basketball will always resonate with fans a bit more is because we get to know and grow with players. On the men's side, there is the one and done situation, and it makes it difficult for fans to really get to know and resonate with a player the way that we do on the women's side, simply because we get you for 3 to 4 years.
Right.
We get to see you from freshman to junior. We get to see, you know, how you've shifted a program. We get to learn more about you. And that wasn't always the case, but it seems that way now more so that on the men's side, we get a player for 1 year, two if we're lucky, and then we're out the door, you know? And that I think is why here we are in senior year for Angel, senior year for Caitlin, senior year, you know, like we get to see players, you know, Rekia Jackson at Tennessee, senior year. We get to see these players that we have watched for 3 or 4 years and we start to know them and we feel like they're ours. And it makes the game so much better when there's a reason to feel invested. And I think that's an element that really separates where the women's game is. And I just hope that continues to build, because, you know, college fans are all about their loyalty. They don't care who play on a team. They don't care about none of that. If they're a Duke fan, they're a Duke fan, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. If they're a South Carolina fan, they're a South Carolina fan, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Like, They love their schools, so they love their players. And it only makes it that much better when we have an opportunity to get to know and learn and grow with these players. But there are still some issues that exist, because as much as we're seeing
this, go to the bad now,
honey, equity still ain't there across the board. There's still some stuff missing.
I mean, real quick on the bad, I mean, obviously sports betting has become a huge part of the game, a huge part of sports in general. I mean, you name a sport, there's a sports book, there's options, there's betting options for it. And looking and seeing how much interest is in the tournament for the women's side this year specifically, and how there aren't as many betting options as there are for the men's tournament. I know that some people will say, well, not everyone's a gambler. True. I'm not a sports bettor. I'm not somebody who places bets like that. Truthfully, I don't really understand the concept that well. And I don't like losing money.
I got you, Ash. I got you.
I don't like losing money. But the point of the matter is, it is a huge industry. It is a huge interest for so many people. And I feel like if you're going to go ahead and offer options, you know, as a sports book for the tournament, it needs to be across the board, especially when the ticket sales and the numbers and the attendance has shown that there is a massive interest for the women's tournament.
Yeah. And even more so to that point, people who are into sports betting and sports gambling, they love to make money. They don't care what. I have seen some of the craziest parlays that people will spend their money on. You know, how many times will this person say the word travel?
How long the national anthem?
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, y'all really bet y'all money on this? Like, so crazy. People will gamble. People will place wagers on the wildest things. There is nothing that would drive anyone to think that people wouldn't place these same kinds of wagers on women's basketball. So the options of where we are, even walking into a sports book, I mean, you just stated that you're not a sports bettor, but I am.
I make that money.
And so even when we're walking into at a casino, if I'm walking into like the sports books area, there are times where I have had to ask, can y'all put the women's game up here? I have seen horse racing and poker. Like, we're in a casino. If you want to see poker, like, walk 2 feet behind me. Like,
there's a table right there.
Here. What are we doing? Like, put the game on. And so there are moments where I've had to ask them to put the women's game on so we can see what's going on. And again, it's not everywhere. I mean, there are some places that are that are different, but it's just adding to the point that as much as we're seeing growth, there are still other areas of the women's basketball structure that we can still see some developing increases in terms of equity, equality, and how we can give them a fairer opportunity to be represented on all levels.
Yeah. I mean, listen, for every stride, there's a bunch more that needs to be made, but at least, you know, we are headed in the right direction. And after the break, we've been talking about all the storylines of the tournament, but now we're going to really get into exactly who we think is advancing, who's not advancing, and possibly who could be upsetting. Tariqa and I are going to fill out a bracket together live on the show. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time now for the main event. It is where Tariqa and I fill out our perfect bracket. And when I say perfectly perfect, I say that very loosely because there is a strong chance that at some point in the tournament, this will be absolutely useless to you, but that's okay because that's going to be the case across the board.
But first round.
For a moment in time, it is going to be the only bracket you need. Hopefully, we're going to do our best. We're going to try it. We're going to start with the Albany regions, though. So let's go ahead and throw this bracket up on the screen here. And look, we were talking about it in our pre-production meeting. There are kind of things that we don't even really need to dive deep into. For example, South Carolina. I think it's safe to say we know who's coming out of that matchup. Right, Tarika?
Yeah, feeling good about South Carolina. Well, I don't even, it doesn't even matter. And I'm good for a good 1-16 matchup. But it is fair to note that the first round for South Carolina, they will be without Camila Cardoso.
After the LSU situation.
Yes, after the situation with LSU, she was suspended for the first round of the NCAA tournament. Now, I don't think they're going to need her against either of these teams, but it will be interesting to see how this team, and granted, South Carolina has played without her before because she plays for the Brazilian national team.
Yes.
And there was a time where she had to go fulfill her obligations on the Brazilian team and come back. So this team is poised to play without her, but certainly something to keep your eye on in that first round.
A matchup that I'm always interested in because I feel like Michigan State always, you know, has a little bit of rough tough about them. And I feel like that's on both sides when it comes to this program. North Carolina, Michigan State could be interesting. My money's on North Carolina. I would like to see the battle of the Carolinas in the second round, but anything is possible. I'm still leaning towards Carolina. What do you think in this matchup?
Yes, same. Michigan State, if you guys don't know, I'm a Michigan State girl 100% all the way. But they have had moments this season where they have collapsed. Mm. One of the best games that I think they've played was against Iowa, a game that I think probably should have been a W, but they were a complete team in that matchup. But I just think North Carolina, Deja Kelly, she's so good. And
love Deja Kelly.
Love Deja Kelly. So I'm also taking North Carolina to take that one.
All right, we got Oklahoma and Florida Gulf Coast University. Florida Gulf Coast, I believe the men's side had a Cinderella tournament a few years ago, and then it was kind of like they, you know, they disappeared into the abyss, if you will. But yeah. I think this is going to be pretty much an obvious outcome. Anything here that kind of makes you say, not so fast?
No, you know what? I think there are some teams in this tournament who could be a Cinderella, but I'm not exactly sure that I'm seeing Florida Gulf Coast as that one. The Big 12 is a pretty strong conference this year. So I think this one's a no-brainer. I don't think this is the upset, but there is an upset that I'm going to pick in this bracket.
Ooh, here we go. All right. We got Indiana and Fairfield. How you feel about that?
Indiana all day. Yes. Indiana is a strong team. I like Indiana. I always have questions about the Big Ten as it relates to tournament play, but I feel really good about Indiana in that matchup.
Listen, this answer is going to either make Patrick Mahomes very happy or make him very upset. We got Nebraska and Texas A&M. Who are you feeling in this one?
So this is the upset that I am predicting. I think Texas A&M, I just love the way Joni Taylor has really gotten this team to defend late here. They had a really great close to their season. And had it not been for them running into South Carolina in the SEC tournament, I think they could have got to the SEC championship. Nebraska also plays very well. They've got a post player, Alexa. She's amazing. But There's some off-court buzz between these two teams. So Nebraska had Trev Albert was their athletic director. He just left Nebraska for what team? Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Exactly. And on top of that, guess who's facing off in the first round on the men's side?
Nebraska and Texas A&M.
So I feel like there's some bad blood here that's brewing, sis. I'm going to take Texas A&M.
Interesting. All right. I feel like this is also something we don't got to dive too much into. I feel like this is an obvious outcome. We have Oregon State and we have Eastern Washington. I think Oregon State is the pick that most people would go with, unless you're just an upset, you know, freak and you just want to go upsets across the board.
Nah, I'm with you there, Oregon State.
All right, let's go ahead. We have Ole Miss and Marquette.
Hmm. All right. In full transparency, I'm being 100% biased here. Uh-huh. Yolette McPhee McEwen is my sorority sister. And if I pick against them and she hears it, she is going to come for me. She's going to call me out on Twitter. I don't want them kind of problems. I'm going to go Ole Miss.
I'm not mad at it. Listen, and I feel like that's pretty much the safe bet here, right?
It's the safe bet here.
Interesting here. Also, I feel like this is something that's pretty much a wash. We have Notre Dame and we have Kent State. I think it's safe to go ahead and pick the Fighting Irish in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Fighting Irish as well. I think they're a team that can really be a sleeper in this tournament. But what I'm going to say is I think it's interesting about Notre Dame is that I want to see how, once again, they have to go into the tournament missing a key player. Last year, they had to play without Olivia Miles. This mm-hmm. year, they have to play without Kylie Watson, who tore her ACL in right. the ACC championship. So I like Notre Dame in this matchup, but let's keep an eye on them to see how far they can really go, knowing that they're missing a key piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting. Injuries obviously change outcomes of games, series all of the time. We've seen it across the board. We've seen it throughout history. It's going to be interesting if any of those affect this tournament specifically. But let's go back up because we're going to go ahead and dwindle it down some more. Now, this is a matchup I'm obviously very, very sad about. Being a big Deja Kelly fan, I hate that they have South Carolina in the next round. But we got South Carolina versus North Carolina. It's the battle of the Carolinas. I feel like we all know how this is going to play out, but Tarika, I'm going to let you say it anyway.
South Carolina. And yeah. That's just all I need to say.
Yeah. This one here could get a little interesting. Oklahoma, Indiana. How are you feeling about this matchup?
This is interesting. And I'm honestly, I'm leaning towards the Sooners, right? Because Indiana has had some moments where they have had offensive stagnation. Like, they have kind of just gone cold at like points in there. And it's just like, you guys are a much better shooting team than, you know, than your percentages are showing at this moment. So I'm gonna go Oklahoma.
All right, let's see how far you're willing to take this upset, all right? Because now we have Texas A&M and we have Oregon State. Are you taking that upset with you into the next round, or is that a one-and-done situation for you?
Ooh, this is interesting, but nah, I'm taking Oregon State.
Right? Okay.
Okay. Oregon State.
All right, and last but not least, you said this is a team you got to look out for. You can't sleep on them. It's a sleeper yes. team, a black sheep, a black horse, a black goat, whatever you want to call it. Put the black in front of the animal. Ole Miss and Notre Dame.
This is where I think the injury will come to haunt Notre Dame. Ooh. Ole Miss is a team of transfers. They have really taking the transfer portal to a whole new level. And I think from an inside perspective, that is where Ole Miss is going to have the advantage. I'm going to take Ole Miss.
All right. And now we get to the last four here. And we're going to go ahead. We have South Carolina versus Oklahoma. Once again, we all know how this is going to play out. Go ahead and say it. No surprise.
Go ahead and mark SC.
There it is. Then we have Oregon State and Ole Miss. Anything that sticks out to you in this particular matchup that may ruffle some feathers?
You know what? This one, I think, is a pretty evenly matched situation. I don't think you could go wrong with either. But this may be the end of the road for Ole Miss. Oregon State played really well in their conference, played really well throughout the season. I think Oregon State is probably the better team and most prepared for that matchup.
All right, we're going to switch gears now. We're going to the other side of the Albany region, and we're going to break down some games over there. Now, this is where, I don't know, listen, once again, we're going to start off a little slow because it's pretty much there's some obvious things here. We got Iowa.
Yeah.
And we got, I can't even see it, but it doesn't even matter. It's Iowa.
It's Iowa.
Yep. Then we have West Virginia and Princeton. Anything here that makes you go,
Princeton is good. I believe this is Princeton's to win. I don't even think there's much discussion here either because Princeton has been an Ivy League powerhouse for years now. It's Princeton.
All right. Then we got Colorado versus Drake.
Colorado is a team that shown all year long. They are a force in the Pac-12. You have bet your bottom dollar. Colorado's going to come out and shine. Sure is.
Shout out to Deion Sanders in that in the Colorado program over there. Kansas State, Portland.
Ioka Lee, baby. Ioka Lee is a beast. She knows how to defend. She knows how to own the paint. Gotta go Kansas State.
I know. That's right. Listen, this one here also, I feel like this is pretty much a wash. We got Louisville and we got Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to take Louisville, but I think that this will be a much closer matchup than people expect. Middle Tennessee has a really great inside defensive presence. So I think it will be closer, a closer score than folks will give people credit for. But yeah, Louisville will most likely win.
You know what won't be a close score? LSU versus Rice.
Go ahead and slide LSU on over.
We have next up, we got Creighton and UNLV.
I think UNLV will be the team that will come out. Desiree Young is phenomenal at UNLV. I love seeing her play. I love seeing her on the paint. I think UNLV has the experience here to overtake Creighton.
And I think also this is a safe bet. We got UCLA and Cal Baptist.
Slide UCLA.
Slide the room that way, please.
Just slide them over.
Let's scroll it back up, and we're going to go ahead and narrow these down. We got Iowa versus Princeton.
Iowa for sure. I mean, what's explained doesn't need to be said.
That's right. Colorado, Kansas State.
This is going to be an interesting matchup. My heart says that Kansas State just has a better inside presence, and that will be the difference. But Colorado has amazing guard play, and they know how to score. So this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Kansas State.
All right. We're going to go ahead, Kansas State, slide them on in there. This is a very interesting matchup for a reason. I'm going to go ahead and let you explain. But a former teammate of LSU gets to see her old team in this matchup. And we're going to see how this plays out. We talk about bloodlines. We talk about narratives.
Yep.
All right. This is a big one.
It's girl, when we talk about storylines, girl.
It's when you go back and you face your ex and you've moved on to bigger and better things and you're happier with your new relationship and now you have a chance to stunt. That is this matchup right here. Tarika, let them know exactly what I'm talking about.
Girl, first of all, what I don't understand is why folks even think that you could go back and see your ex and it's going to be all good. You already know that the moment that you show up, it's going to be some foolishness, okay? Mm-hmm. So, hey, Van Liss is going to really show out when she shows up and has to play Louisville if this is how the brackets end up falling.
Let's hope it does.
I am hoping that this is what it is because I want to see HVL get lit, right? Okay. I want to see her get lit. But I do think that LSU is just a better team altogether, which is probably why HVL said I'm out.
Exactly. Basketball guys, we need this. We need this. Okay, we need this. I feel like this also is something that's not really much of a story here, though. UNLV versus UCLA. I think it's safe to say the Bruins are going to go ahead and advance.
Yeah, as much as I like UNLV, I think, you know, Charisma Osborne ain't going to let y'all come in here and do her like that. She's absolutely going to play her best basketball. So this right here is good.
This is like, real good.
Look at how the committee, what were you thinking?
Yes.
Like, this is crazy to have. So Iowa and Kansas State are 1-1 on the season. So the biggest thing that I feel that would block Iowa is if Hannah Stuckey can be consistent enough. Now, this is the same Hannah Stuckey who gave us 40 points, but she's not a 40-point scorer every time. So which one shows up against Ioka Lee in Kansas State? That is where I'm wondering. They split the season because they faced each other and they won once and lost once, which is wild that you would see Kansas State
wild
in the Big Ten while you see them, you know. But at any rate, Kansas State did get a W on Iowa, and I think Iowa gets revenge. So I'm going to say Iowa move forward.
Looking for revenge. This one's interesting to me. Yeah. This out of everything that we have done so far, there's been a few things that are like, okay, marking on my calendar, marking on my calendar. UCLA, LSU, marking it on my calendar. I feel like it's going to be obviously LSU, but if I had to go ahead and say an upset is possible in the worst possible time of the tournament, it might be right here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. UCLA is poised to just, like, they are due an opportunity to really, like, run the table. And I felt like this would have been a great year, which is one of the reasons why I am not happy that they are all in the same region, because it's like we're going to miss a chance to really see some good teams battle. And Corey Close is such an amazing coach. She's really continued to push this team to the next level every single year. But I think this will be LSU's match. So I think LSU is going to end up facing Iowa.
Listen, that's going to be must see TV. All right.
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing that day, make sure you cancel it, because if it's not, if it doesn't involve you being in front of a TV, well, you know what? We have phones now. Just make sure you got Wi-Fi service. You know what I mean? Just make sure you're somewhere where there's Wi-Fi service, bare minimum. Listen, when we get back, we're going to go ahead and dive into the Portland region and break down what we think is going to happen on that side of things. Upsets, not so many upsets, Cinderella stories and everything in between. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Myself, Ashley Nicole Moss. We have Tarika Foster Brasby in the building. Listen, we got to go ahead and do the Portland region now.
We do. Right?
We hit Albany. I feel like we got through that very, very nicely. Portland, though, I feel like we got some possible Cinderella stories, possible upsets here, maybe a little bit more than the side of the bracket that we just completed. So let's go ahead and see what we can come up with here. First and foremost, this one right now, I think this is obvious, but Tarika, who you got? Texas, Drexel?
Yeah, this one to me is obvious too. It's definitely Texas. Like, not much discussion here.
Right. Alabama, Florida State.
I think this is going to be a close one. 8-9 matchups are always really close, but I think Florida State might actually be the team to get the W here.
All right. Let's go Utah, and I believe this is South Dakota State.
Yes. South Dakota State, I actually got a chance to watch them. And I know, right? And South Dakota State is a lot better than I think folks will give them credit for. They really can shoot the three ball really well. But I'm going to take Utah because, no, Elisa Pilley, she is the truth. Elisa Pilley is the truth.
Also the truth here, I don't think that this is going to be much of a conversation either. We got Gonzaga and we got UC Irvine, but
yeah.
Go ahead and say it.
Gonzaga. Come on, West Coast.
Hold it down. Listen, Tennessee and Green Bay.
Tennessee for sure. Rekia Jackson is going to go on a tear, and I can't wait to see her this tournament.
All right. Another one of those obvious ones. You got NC State and Chattanooga.
Yep. Again, NC State, like this region is the region that Iowa probably wish they would have had, right? Like, this is the region that Iowa wish they would have had. But yeah, I'm going to go NC State.
You know what? I changed my mind. I feel like this is not going to have a lot of Cinderella stories and upsets. I feel like this is very cut and dry. This is not as exciting as I was hoping it would be.
I think this matchup, though, will be interesting.
Okay, so we have Iowa State and we have Maryland.
We do. Now, I'm going to take Iowa State. Actually, you know what? You know what?
Go with the DMV, girl. Go with the DMV.
Like, let's just go Maryland, right? And here's why. Like, I feel like Maryland has, one, played really good coming up into this. Iowa State, for sure. The Cyclones, Audie Crooks, honey. Audie don't play no games. But Maryland just kind of strikes me as a team that can just, Brenda Freeze can have her team slide under the radar a little bit. And I think that, you know, Iowa State has its moments where it might, this might be one of those I just didn't play my best basketball days. Maryland just might show up. I'm gonna take Maryland.
All right. Let's
go tomorrow for it.
I feel like this is a cut and dry one. We got Stanford. We got Norfolk State. We're going Stanford.
We're going Stanford.
All right, let's narrow this side of the bracket down before we get to the other side. Let's go ahead and scroll that up. Texas, yeah. Florida State.
Texas, Florida State, Texas. Texas is a really good team. Mm. They're a really good team.
In time for the Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go Utah, Gonzaga. This gets a little interesting here.
It does start to get a little interesting. But I think I'm still going to roll with Gonzaga.
Ooh, tell us why.
Mm-hmm. One thing that you got to learn about, well, the fans out there, that they have to learn about the West Coast Conference is that they play very big. Like, they play very tall, very big. And I think this is probably going to present a matchup against Elisa Pili that she hasn't typically had to see throughout the regular season. And that is why I feel if it comes down to the battle of the bigs, Gonzaga just may be able to present the challenge no one else has done.
A little bit of an edge. Not so much of an edge. We got Tennessee and NC State.
I got to go Tennessee. And I think it's going to be a close one. I'm talking about like maybe a two-point game at that. This might be an overtime. This might be book it. This is going to be our overtime matchup. If this happens.
Does this qualify as an upset pick?
I don't know if Tennessee would. Well, technically, because Tennessee is a 6 seed and NC State is a 3, that is an upset.
Is this your first upset pick
in this region? Well, maybe my second, because Iowa State and Maryland. Maryland's a 10, so that might be the second upset. So yeah.
Let's see if that belief in Maryland continues to this year. We got Maryland and Stanford. You going to go Maryland just to make it spicy, or?
I will not have any spice in this matchup. It will absolutely be Stanford. Cameron Brink will show up as she always does.
All right, let's go ahead and break down this last part here. We have Texas and Gonzaga. Who is advancing?
Texas, to me, is just a strong team. And have you seen their freshman, Madison Booker? Oh, girl is a bucket, okay? It will be Texas.
Nothing but the bottom of the net. All right, so we're going to go Texas. All right, Tennessee. And Stanford.
I had all the faith in Tennessee, but I'm going rock chalk here. And I don't mean Kansas. I mean Stanford. So one of the two, the one, all chalk here. The one and the two will match up and meet for that final spot.
All right, let's shift gears to the other side here. This one is easy. No conversation necessary. Our girl, Juju Watkins, USC, and some other team. We're going to go USC. Kansas and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Kansas is really strong. Gosh, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to roll with Kansas.
Don't let your Michigan State bias interfere here.
I know, right? In my mind, I'm like, Tarika, can you publicly go on record for me? But no, I think Kansas is the team that will get the best of them here. Now,
I think another team that's going to get the best of their opponent. We got Baylor versus, I believe this says Van, but I'm going to go Baylor. I think that's a safe bet here, right?
Yeah, I think they're facing up against Vanderbilt, and Baylor's the better team. Yeah.
All right. Virginia Tech and Marshall.
Come on, Georgia Amore. Let's get it, girl. Virginia Tech for sure.
All right. Listen, a team I grew up loving. Shout out to Carmelo Anthony. Syracuse. And I cannot see the lower one, but I believe this says Arizona.
Yes.
All right. So Syracuse, Arizona.
I think this will also be another close one. And can we just give some love to Felicia Leggett-Jack and what she's done with this Syracuse program? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have had their ups and downs this season, but goodness, I love the way that she's coached. I've been a fan of her since AB. But I think Arizona will be the team that's going to come out of that 11 matchup because they've got to face. So Arizona has to go against Auburn in like a play-in. Mm-hmm. And then I still think Arizona will be the team to beat Syracuse.
Dang. Sorry, Orange. That hurts my heart. It hurt my heart a little bit. I'm New Yorker. My heart hurts hearing you say that.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
One day we'll get back. One day we'll get back. I just know it. UConn, Jackson State.
Woo! Man, oh, man. Okay. I see a different fire in UConn this year. Mm. I don't know what it is about them, but and it's weird to say that, right? UConn, mm-hmm. the legacy team, they've got a gazillion championships.
Gazillion.
Okay, I'm going to take UConn, but I just think that they're a team that not many people are talking about coming into the tournament, which is odd, and that might benefit them. They may be able to fly under the radar, so definitely going to take UConn in this matchup, but shout out to the HBCU and Tamika Reed. Please.
It's honestly so crazy because UConn used to be a team that you could not stop talking about. The spotlight was directly on them, and I feel like once again, this speaks to how much the game has advanced and how much the talent has advanced, because now the spotlight, there are so many other teams underneath that microscope that UConn is... Listen, we know what y'all can do, but can y'all see what these girls can do over here?
Yes, UConn has had, I mean, the parody of the game is crazy now. The transfer portal has made that, but UConn has suffered some injuries. They've had players who have had to miss games, but I feel like when Paige said that she was coming back, that rejuvenation that they had in their team. I know Aaliyah Edwards wants the ball. She broke her nose in the tournament time. And so she's going to be masking it up. But listen, this team, if Ice Brady comes through, like, this team could be fun to watch.
Real fun. Real, real fun. Duke Richmond.
I think Kara in her speeches will have Duke right where they need to be. So we're going to take Duke.
All right. I think this is a safe bet, too. We got Ohio State, Maine. I think we can all put our money on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, we think Ohio State can definitely get that done. Yeah.
All right, we're going to narrow this one down now. USC versus Kansas.
Yeah. USC versus Kansas. USC, come on now.
Juju.
The power of one.
We got Baylor and Virginia Tech.
Now, my heart wants to say Virginia Tech, but really, it's really going to be based on the availability of Elizabeth Kitley, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they played an ACC tournament without her. And despite, like, this wild loss to Notre Dame, I don't think that they go far if Liz Kitley can't play. And so with that, I don't know if they can survive against Baylor without Liz Kidley. So I think Baylor may be the best bet here.
All right. Now we're going to go ahead and scroll down here. Obviously, we don't know specifically who the team is going to be. I know we've been saying Arizona. It could be Auburn. You know, we're just playing devil's advocate here. So whoever the outcome may be, Auburn, Arizona versus UConn, safe bet here. UConn is going to take down whoever their opponent is.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that UConn is going to come out of whoever that matchup is.
Duke and Ohio State Blue Devils versus the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I feel like Duke, it's prime for Duke and Ohio State to meet in this matchup. Cody McMahon is just incredible, right? She has played incredible throughout the Big Ten tournament. Just the way that they were coming together down the stretch. She knows how to put a team on her back. Ohio State.
All right. So we're going to put Ohio State versus UConn. Now we're going to go ahead and break this down so we can get to our final four teams and the championship games after this. But we got USC versus Baylor. I think we're all going Juju, Ed Control, Watkins.
Let's go, Juju.
UConn, Ohio State. Interesting.
I think UConn.
Big margin, little margin.
I think UConn can be the team because they want to get Ohio State back for putting them out in the Sweet 16 last year. And on top of that, a Paige Bueckers, Juju Watkins. What? That would be
again. Nuts. Circle a calendar.
Can we get that?
If you don't, if you're not by a TV, make sure you're in a Wi-Fi space, a hotspot space. Don't be on a plane that doesn't have TV. You know who you are. Don't want to miss this.
Oh, we have to have that. Okay. So
really have to have that. All right. Now we're going to get into the good stuff. We're going to get into the meat of this thing right here. We're going to go ahead and pick our final four teams. All right. Yeah. So go ahead and pull that up and we're going to go ahead and break that down. All right. Final four right here. South Carolina, Oregon State. I know. But South Carolina, we have to at least say it.
Like we know it. Just put them but we got to say it from the beginning. Like we could have just put them there.
This here though, this could be interesting. This could go one of two ways. It could mm-hmm. be really, really good, or it could be really, really bad, depending on who you believe is coming out of this matchup. I think there's so many different storylines in this one. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's Cinderella season in terms of her magical season, if you will, her record-breaking season, her history-making season, has a chance to go ahead and take down the reigning champs looking for the two-peat. And then the reigning champs have the opportunity to upset the history-breaking season that is of Caitlin Clark. Who are you leaning towards?
Gosh, this is so hard.
I know.
Oh, gosh. This is so
I know.
Hard.
So I'm going LSU by a small margin. I am
actually right there with you. As much as I want this season to end for Iowa with all of the celebration and storylines around it, I just really feel like LSU, they're just going to feel like they have something to prove, right? And man, it's a national championship rematch.
I know.
I'm gonna go LSU.
Okay, all right. That was. Listen, small margin. I think it's gonna be a close one. It's gonna be a nail biter. It's gonna be hard. Okay, Texas, Stanford, another one.
Okay,
great so game.
Bear with me here.
Okay,
but I am kind of leaning Stanford.
Whoa, was not expecting that answer. Why?
Were you leaning Texas?
I was leaning Texas, but again, much like Iowa and LSU, small margin, wasn't going to be a blowout game.
Yeah.
Small margin leaning towards Texas. Why Stanford?
Well, I think that one thing that helps a team in the championship is death, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm 100% sure that Texas will have the bench depth that will take them to the promised land. And granted, you know, Stanford has had their moments with bench depth as well. But I feel like when you add in the fact that they have Cameron Brink, who is amazing, mm-hmm. when you also add in the fact that they've been in this position before, because experience does start to matter mm-hmm. as you go deeper and deeper into the playoffs.
Very true.
I believe that it is set. It is set for us to get a rematch between South Carolina and Stanford. Remember, we had that
yes.
In 2021. It was a national semifinals game. It was the game where everyone embarrassed Aaliyah with the crying face, and I hated yes. it so much. But I feel like this is a prime opportunity for this rematch to come together. And I just think that Stanford just has the experience and a little bit more depth than Texas. Oh, I hope I don't hate this for this. What do you think?
It's going to be a close one. Again, this is something much like Iowa and LSU. I feel like it's coming down to the wire. I can see this being at most a 4-point game. I Woo! Can't see it being more than that. I can't see it being this massive, unless something goes terribly, drastically wrong and one team just does not show up. There's a horrific, God forbid, injury. Something prevents, you know, a star player or a fundamental piece of both teams from being able to play. I can't see this not being a nail biter. And I would not be surprised if it goes down to the wire and just gives us something that we're not expecting. But again, leaning toward Texas, not by much.
Okay.
One here also could be interesting. Obviously, I'm rolling with our girl Juju, but I would not be surprised to see UConn pull out the quote-unquote upset because they are the third seed going into this because of their pedigree, their DNA as a program.
Yep. And you know what? The exact same analysis that I was just talking about with Texas is exactly where I see UConn, despite how good Paige Beckers and Aliyah Edwards are. I feel like so much is going to be put on them to get through this tournament that by the time they get to this level, they'll be just completely out of gas. Ooh. And so USC to me is the team that advances just because I just feel like they'll be a bit more poised at this point and a bit more stable to handle the pressure of what it means to play in the Final Four.
Which again, just speaks to the testament of the maturity of Juju Watkins, 18 years old, going to be on the biggest stage possible, the Final Four.
And if Mackenzie Forbes plays the way she played in that Pac-12 championship, gosh, we're in for a treat.
And speaking of the Final Four, here we are. All right, we got South Carolina. We got Stanford, that rematch that you were speaking of. If everything works out according to our plan, we're going to get that rematch that we've been craving.
Yes.
And I think we all know the outcome here. It's going to be South Carolina. But what about this match outside of the rematch aspect of it makes you so excited?
Well, I think the biggest issue here is that Cameron Brink has an ability sometimes to get in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. And if she does that, and I know Camila Cardoso is going to push her to the max, going to push her to the limit. If Cameron gets in foul trouble, Stanford's in trouble. They need her on the court. And I feel like Dawn knows that. I feel like South Carolina knows that. I don't think that Stanford is deep enough to compete with South Carolina in that regard. So I think that gives South Carolina the advantage.
All right. We're going to go ahead and slide over this way. This is one that I am so excited for. So excited for. Some of my favorite young women in the sport going at it. As you know, I'm a big Angel Reese fan. As we're both big Juju Watkins fans. We've been gassing her all show, rightfully so. I mean, we are going to see just kind of the current and the future star of women's college basketball just overall going at it. And it's going to be fun to watch. Honestly, I know a lot of people, we kind of been talking about it all show. I was scanning a bunch of people's brackets. Everyone had South Carolina versus LSU. But now that I'm seeing this matchup in front of me, physically in front of me, I would not be surprised if it ended up being USC.
Wow, really?
I don't know. Seeing it, like I can almost envision the game in my head. I'm watching them go at it. I'm watching Angel Reese and Juju Watkins go at it. I'm watching everybody go at it. I'm watching the coach and I'm watching the defense. I can see this another game going down to the wire and really possibly being the game that just catapults Juju Watkins to the next level when she takes down the reigning champs. I still give the edge to LSU, but I can't say that I don't see this.
Okay, so I can say that I can understand that, right? Like, I can understand that. But LSU plays a physical style of basketball at times.
We do know, yes.
And USC got in trouble the last time they played a physical matchup, and that was against UCLA, and they fouled out like four of their players. And that didn't benefit USC at all. UCLA obviously went on to win the game. It was interesting, right? It was a very interesting situation. Like, they battled with UCLA this season. I believe they both went 1-1, but they battled with UCLA. And so I think of USC having to play a physical style of basketball with LSU, who has some bigs. Like, Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow are not short. Like,
no, they're not at all.
Yes. They are some true post players, right? And then I think about, you know, if HVL starts to get on a run and starts to score from deep, and if Flauge starts to score, like,
they are very deep, dominant, physical team.
And you want to see USC have to rely on more than just Juju, more than just McKenzie. I'm leaning LSU.
Me too. I am leaning LSU also. But I can say we've seen crazy things happen. We've seen that one player just go off and just change the entire outcome of a game across the history of sports. But I do agree with you. And I also think, look, LSU, they want South Carolina and they want them bad.
They want them bad, girl.
They want them real bad. Listen,
this is what we need.
All that Angel was talking, like, we going to see them again. Listen, we're not scared. They want them bad and we need it bad because everything that she was saying, we're not scared of them. We're going to see them again. We're not scared of South Carolina. Listen, I need this and I need it bad. So I'm going LSU also. And then here we are, the championship game, Sunday, April 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern time, South Carolina, LSU, the storylines, the history, the trash talk, the interviews, anything that you can imagine, the chance to two-peat, the chance to upset the two-peat. This championship game has it all. Tarika.
Everything.
South Carolina.
Oh, man.
LSU. How you going here? How you going?
It to me is the epitome of the season to have South Carolina and LSU meet in the championship. Like, that would cap off what would be an incredible season. And you know they're going to come balling because they're not going to forget what happened in the SEC tournament. But when I think of South Carolina, just how explosive Tahina Paopao has played. When I think about the freshman phenom of Malaysia, Full Wiley. She was the tournament's MVP.
Yes.
Had a career high 24 points with, Chloe Kitts. Like, there's so many players that just can be explosive for South Carolina on the offensive end. And on top of that, this is a team that has dominated LSU over and over and over again.
Right.
And I don't say that to say like it's going to be a runaway win, but I say that to say that there is a factor, like there is something going on in their mind.
And that's a great point that you bring up, because not only have they dominated them on the court, they have dominated them in a mental state where they're in their head.
Yeah.
Like they're able to get into their head so much that it affects them on the court. It's the anger and the rage that they're able to bring out of them when they get the best of them. That is just almost, it's very Mamba-like. It's very Kobe Bryant Mamba mentality, Michael Jordan-like, where it's like, when you step on the court, I already have you beat here. I just got to do it here.
Yeah, you nailed it. It is their 16th straight win over LSU. 16 straight. And at least four of them have been since Kim Mulkey has been their coach. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, to your point, when you've gotten into a team's head, it is tough. Like, you live there. And the other thing that I think is really interesting too, is it's not as if the last time these two teams met, it was a complete blowout.
Right.
Like, South Carolina collapsed on defense.
Right.
And LSU found a way to cut the deficit. I think it was like a 13-point deficit. They cut it down to like three. So this is not like two teams that when we say dominated as if like it's been a 20-point blowout. No, I mean, like, these two teams have battled. They have fought. And I think that's what we want to see in a national championship. However, if this ends up happening, which we hope it does, I think South Carolina will go away as the national champion. I don't think LSU, despite how close it could be, would be able to defeat South Carolina for a 17th straight year. South Carolina would get the dub.
Make it 33-0.
It's the perfect season.
Again, Nick Saban. They'll get even more talent the following year. We'll probably be having this conversation in 2025. Yeah. it's just that insane. Listen, we are going to be doing this all tournament long. That does it for us this week. But again, we will be back next week breaking everything down that happens in this absolutely incredible tournament. So much to see, so much to discuss. I mean, if you guys are not watching, please start watching. And please comment, subscribe to everything that we're doing here so you do not miss any of the amazing analysis, edge control recommendations, everything in between, because we're going to be bringing it to you over the course of the next few weeks. For myself, for Tarika, that does it. And we will see you next time. Bye, guys.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.